What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rumble, band.video, Vigilante TV, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing support. If you want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io is the best place to do that. You can find everything that we've got cooking with books, podcasts, news sites, all that good stuff. Hopefully you've bookmarked Activist Post and Natural Blaze. You're getting some of your news over there. I hope you are. It's a great resource for you. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. My God, we've been doing this for a while, and Legal Shield has been in business for 50 years in the United States and Canada, and they'll get you access to an attorney in your area for a very reasonable price. How reasonable? How about a dollar a day to have legal representation? You can do all kinds of things with this. And I know you guys are signing up for it because every time somebody signs up, I get an email. And we have done this hundreds and hundreds of times with the people who have listened to this show. I'm glad you've signed up. I'm a little surprised everybody hasn't. It's the best money you'll spend. It's fantastic. You can get a lot of value out of this. So if you're interested, if you're curious, if you've never even gone to the website to take a look, you should. Just go to don'tgetpushedaround.com. The link is down in the show notes. And just read up about this. If you don't know anything about Legal Shield, it's a great company. But you're going to get an app on your phone. You can take care of all kinds of documents, like right away. It really is the best money you'll spend. You'll get a lot of value for it. I know there's some things that I buy in life. I go, why did I buy this? I used it two times. It flushed my money down. With Legal Shield, even if you do use Legal Shield like two times to get a bunch of documents done, still going to more than cover itself. So go to the website, don'tgetpushedaround.com. Check it out for yourself. Also, we appreciate Tim James and the crew over at Chemical Free Body. It's one thing that they make outstanding supplements, and they do, and they have for years. And hopefully you're taking Green 85 or you're doing the detox bundle because it'll change your life. I'm not even kidding. It really will change physically. It will change you. And then in return, that will change your mentality. But it's not just supplements anymore. The Water Hero system is something you have to explore. If you have a Berkey or you've got like a clearly filtered or you've got like a Brita, which doesn't do anything, you can replace that with a handheld water purifier, structured water that Tim is selling. You got to go check it out. It's called the Water Hero. You can install it to your house so that all of your water comes in is structured. It's a little expensive, but you can do it. They have a variety of different sizes available. So take a look. This is something you definitely want to go over to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and just take a look, see what you think. If you find something you like, pull the trigger on it. You know Tim. Tim's a good guy. He's been with us from the beginning. So chemicalfreebody.com/macro to check it all out. Well, I'm going to report back on my trip to California. Well, it's still there. I'll let you know. It hasn't fallen off into the ocean, hasn't broken off after a gigantic earthquake and disappeared into the Pacific Ocean. That's what we were told. I was told that as a kid. Not that it was going to happen, but that it might. And of course, you live in a active volcanic region like Southern California. I lived along the San Andreas Fault, literally runs through the Palm Springs area where I grew up. I've been there for the earthquakes, had some big ones, had some freakish experiences with them, the type that makes you think, oh my God, this is really serious. But it never broke off, never fell into the ocean. It never destroyed California. It took leftist politicians to do that. And they have done a great job. So I'm going to talk to you about about California. We've done some work on California in the past. It's an important place. It really is. It's the sixth largest economy in the world. It's a fascinating place. The culture factory of, you know, North America, of course, with Hollywood and all the things that go on there. And it's a beautiful state. At least it was. And it had an Americana sort of vibe to it. If you think about the endless summers and, you know, the things, the 60s and the 70s and the way California was perceived, it's changed. So we'll talk about what it's become. We'll talk about how communism is creeping in. It's just so funny. We'll talk about the bullet train to nowhere. We'll talk about how bad California is at math. Oh boy, you thought Common Core was bad. And lastly, we'll wrap up with the business exodus. And it's like, let my people go. You know, like everybody is packing up the wagon and getting the fuck out of California. And not for nothing. They should. I did. I did in 2015. I am uniquely qualified to speak about this as a resident of California for over 30 years. Okay. I'm no longer a resident there anymore. I left. Straight up. The reason why we left was because of SB 277, California bill, which mandated vaccines. That's it. That's the reason we left. Everybody's got a line in the sand somewhere, right? Maybe you don't ever have to figure it out, or maybe you draw one and cross over it from time to time. But, and maybe I would have drawn a line in the sand and allowed myself to cross over it if it had just been about me. But when it's about my daughter and her health, I am not looking to co-parent with the state, okay? Not interested in that. I don't need the state to be my doctor. I don't need them telling me what sort of magic potions they want me to inject into my kids. That's not their job. Their job is to be the state and stay out of my way, not insert themselves into my personal life by telling me what I have to mandate it to put into my body. So as soon as you see overreach like that, you know it's not going to get any better. It'd be one thing if California was a real buttoned up state and then they had this one glaring Achilles heel, which was this vaccine addiction. But that's not the case. Their entire mentality is completely warped. The way that the politicians see the people, they think that they've got a farm that nobody will leave. Because they know what they've got. They've got California. They've got the weather. They've got beautiful women. And they've got that. You know, there's a lot to love about it. And then, of course, if you wind up in an entertainment job, like in Hollywood or something that's dependent on being geographically located in Southern California, then you can't leave. I mean, you if you're an independent filmmaker who kind of comes and goes and does some things, yeah, you can move to Texas and work from there. And a lot of people have. And in fact, we're going to get to that in this episode. But for people who have traditional jobs meaning you got to get up in the morning, get in your car, go to a place, and then work with other people. And if, you know, then you're stuck there if you're in an industry that's dependent on being in entertainment. If you were somebody, and that's Southern California, if you were in Northern California and you were in the tech world, same thing, right? I mean, now we've got Zoom and you can kind of remote work and commute in technologically, I suppose. But, same thing. You're sort of forced. If you're working in Silicon Valley and that's where all the action is and that's where all the companies and the teams are, then you got to be there. And if you hate California's politics because it's incompatible with logic and reason, which it is, and you would love to move, you might not be able to. That's the problem, is that a lot of people are stuck and they can't leave. So, you know, I left in 2015 because of SB 277. I'm there now. There's robot delivery vehicles, and I know because I saw them. So I kind of got the tourist treatment over this last week. I'll give you a kind of a lowdown of it because, you know, I mean, you live in a place for a long, long time, and sometimes you don't really explore too much. Like I lived in L.A., you know, L.A. County, like the area known as L.A., not Los Angeles itself, but that general area for over 20 years. And I didn't really venture out to the valley all that much, but I got the tourist treatment. I covered all corners in four nights, as Randy Newman says, from the South Bay to the Valley, from the West Side to the East Side. Victory Boulevard, we love it. Yeah, I was even on Victory Boulevard. So I did the Randy Newman song, and we started in the Valley. So I got in, did live in studio tinfoil hat with my good friend and podcast co-host, the great Sam Tripley. It was really fun to see him, Johnny Woodard, XG, and hang out at the Tinfoil Hat at the Wise Wolf Studios. You know, Tony Arterburn and the crew, Wise Wolf, are sponsors of Activist Post as well. They're the exclusive sponsor of the homepage of Activist Post. And of course, I see Tony's work when I go into the Wise Wolf Studios in the Valley of Hollywood and hang out with Sam and the crew. They've got a great little organization. I had a lot of fun. If you haven't seen the Tinfoil Hat episode, I don't know which one it was, 920, something like that, that I did in studio with Sam, it's fun. That was my eighth or ninth time on the show. But the second, you know, the last time I had been in Southern California was 2018. And that was the last time I was out in LA doing Tinfoil Hat in studio. I've done it obviously remotely. So it was good to come in front. Now, the reason I was in LA, it had nothing to do with business. I tacked on some business to turn it into a business trip because, you know, as you do. But the real reason why I was in LA was to see Oasis at the Rose Bowl on Saturday night. They were fucking biblical. Holy shit. Oh my God. Oasis. It's one of those things. If you were around in the 94, 95, 96 era when Oasis was the biggest band in the world, then you know what I'm talking about, man. That was a real important era for me, man. Like, I was coming out of college when their first two albums were taken off. We'd come out of USC, me and a couple buddies. And we were starting a company. We're starting a tech company right out of college. My business partner had created City Search, basically the idea for City Search, like 3 years before City Search was out. So we were building that. And while we were working on this company, like just in the hacking tech, you know, like data entry that I was doing for 10 hours a day, every day for months and months, we were just burning through this Oasis album, What's the Story, Morning Glory, just on a loop, right? So it's just one of those things where that band at that time and the message that they had, very positive message, never political, none of that stuff. It was, you know, it's always sort of like, we're going to live forever. We're the greatest, you know, I'm a rock and roll star. Like, you know, all that stuff. It was a great vibe at the time. We can do whatever we want. You know, you're coming out of all the glam rocks to fuck that glam rock garbage. And then you get a band where the lead singer stands in front of the audience, puts his hands behind his back, doesn't touch the microphone stand, it doesn't move around on stage, does the exact opposite of everything you're supposed to do. And then they're the biggest band in the world. It's fucking great, man. So anyway, to all of you around the world who have caught the Live 25 Oasis concert, you know what I'm talking about. The place was absolutely hopping, even in Los Angeles, which I'll tell you, I was with my buddy Chang, you know, we're big Oasis fans. We were the one that we started this company together years ago. So Chang and I have been loving Oasis forever. We, you know, this is part of the Tokyo crew, the Hong Kong crew. So we had been in 97. The last time we saw him, Chang and I went in 97 at the Universal Amphitheater. So it was great to see him back. But I was a bit surprised at the energy of the LA crowd. Chang went to the Wembley shows. So, and he's on his way to Tokyo, to the Tokyo shows as well. So he's like, you know, he's got the flexibility to do that. But even in LA, they did that Euro hop, you know, down on the floor where everyone's fucking jumping up and down. Where, you know it's bad when you think the Rose Bowl is going to come down. It actually might. 100 years old and in a quake damaged area of Pasadena, you know, the Rose Bowl might come down and you get a 80,000 Oasis fans jumping up and down. But it was, and Sam and Johnny were there too. So that's the thing. It's like, when I'm coming into LA, I'm going to go see Oasis. I'm going to meet up with Sam and Sam Tripoli and Johnny Woodard, his producer. And we're going to, we might as well do Tinfoil Hat in advance. So that's the reasoning for that. But if you haven't, listen, if you're somebody that wants to explore the world and go out and do a trip to California, because you've never been, there's a lot to see. There's a lot of fantastic touristy things, but man, it's just changed so much. I'd highly advise anybody that's interested to go. If you ever go down, you want to go to a great place, a great part of LA that nobody really talks about. If you live there, you probably know about it, but go to the South Bay. That's the area that's south of Los Angeles International Airport. Just go down south a little bit along that beach, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach. I lived there for a decade, man. It's the greatest place. It's just beautiful. It's, and they've done their best to try to protect it from the insanity, but, you know, good luck with that. So anyway, I had a chance and I say we kind of had a touristy thing going on, because the whole time I lived in LA, I rarely saw tourists. I mean, I rarely saw celebrities. I would see tourists out there celebrity hunting, but I might as well have been like them. I never really saw anybody. So living in the South Bay, it's not Hollywood, and I never lived in Hollywood. So every now and then I'd have some instances. I did have an instance where we were in the middle of a business meeting and Pam Anderson and Kid Rock were standing right behind everybody in our little group. We were having lunch. I thought the guy who was in the middle of talking was having a stroke, because he was like, and I was like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? I look up behind and I go, oh, it's Pam Anderson standing there with Kid Rock. Oh, and by the way, the most baller move you've ever seen in a business meeting. Let me tell you this, just since I'm on the topic, and it's completely off topic, but Santa Monica, having a business meeting. It's back in the media sports media training guys days. Back, we're having a meeting with the head of IMG Hockey, which is the biggest sports agency, hockey agency in the world, right? We're outside with these guys having lunch at this place. And that's the guys that are in the middle of talking, and he's stuttering. I turn and look behind me, and it's Pam Anderson and Kid Rock. So this is like 2002, right? My business partner. We're trying to impress these guys, these hockey agents. We want them to hire us to work with their clients. And we're trying to impress them. And they see Pam Anderson. We see it too. My business partner turns and goes, hey, Pam. And she goes, oh, hey, Steve, good to see you. Gives him a little pat on the back, walks off. Everybody at that table was so impressed. My partner had been an actor, knew her because he had been on her show VIP. So they'd worked together. After that, I walked in, I said, dude, we closed that deal. He's like, you're damn right we did. So every now and then you'll get a celebrity sighting. You want to know what my celebrity sightings were this time around? Very unusual. Dennis Quaid, pretty cool, right? Saw him in Manhattan Beach. I'm not going to ever really be chatty with them, but just saw him. And the following night at Barney's Beanery in West Hollywood, from 90210, Ian Ziering, right? So that was my very unusual celebrity sightings, right? But it's I think that Hollywood is dying though. And one of the reasons why I think that was that, one of the nights I went out, the night that we saw Ian Ziering at Barney's Beanery, we went out in like actual West Hollywood, which is kind of boys town. And it's not the greatest, but we were with some of Chang's friends, girls. So we're safe, you know, but Hollywood is dying. We talked to, I get in interview mode sometimes with these people when I'm out and I'm meeting people. I forget that, like, oh, I need to just be a human being with them and not try to like get to the bottom of their story and find myself like interviewing them, borderline interrogating them, maybe not in a negative way, but just like, I want to know more. Tell me more. So, the people that I've been talking to, I was asking, like, how's it been? Like, how long have you been here? You know, oh, I've been here for 10 years. And every single person that I talked to said the same thing. It's just really different now. I'm like, well, yeah, of course it's really different. I have eyeballs. I lived here. So it's, you know, California's changed considerably. And for me, somebody that has over three decades of experience, well, really 50. I mean, because I grew up there as a kid. So I like looking back, even the years that I've been gone, I know what it was like when I was 10 years old. Might as well be another planet. And so I kind of had my radar up to look at all of the flaws of California, because there are many, but you don't even have to actively be looking for it. I'll give you an example. Like, it, you know, the last thing I saw before I got on my plane, it just sort of summarizes. And yes, this is Los Angeles International Airport, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a California thing, but it is a California thing because I fucking lived there and I saw this. But the last thing I saw before I got on a plane to get out of there was an old man wearing a leopard print skirt, an old man wearing a leopard print skirt and pink stockings and 5-inch heels with a white lace shirt that was see-through enough that I could tell that underneath this white lace shirt, he had a black bra with the sort of like, the black bras that open up so that like nursing bras so that your nipples can stick. I mean, the whole thing was going, and he's walking back and forth in front of me. I'm watching this. The music that is playing on the overhead speaker, I feel like I'm on acid, is Pass the Dutchie by Musical Youth, right? I don't know, 1983, maybe, I'm guessing, is when that song came out. And this guy's going back and forth with his carry-on. He's looking for someone or something. And I'm just watching this and I'm just going, you know, they really do need to bring back insane asylums. And I'm not for state-sanctioned decision-making on who's, you know, crazy and who's not. But there needs to be, they need to bring them back. I know I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating again, seeing as I'm talking about bringing back insane asylums. But I do remember being a senior in college. So we're talking like 93, 94 in that era there. And being at a fast food restaurant, eating outside, there's like tables outside, USC, South Central Los Angeles, at night, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, eating a burrito with my buddies outside, and a white van pulls up. And the driver gets out, opens the back, and he's like, come on, get out. And there's like five, six people, in like hospital gowns, the kind that are tied in the back, but nobody's tied theirs in the back. So they're just kind of half, and he pushes them all out. Come on, get out. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? Are they like filming a movie here? Like, what's happening? And then the guy, and then he closes the van, he gets back in, he drives off. And he just left them there. And I was like, we're all looking around like, wait, did they you just leave these fucking people from the nut house right there on the corner? They did. They just left them on the corner in their hospital gown. And these, you see them just, well, we're in the middle of eating a burrito. We've been watching weird shit for 4 years in that area. So it wasn't too surprising. But when I say that they emptied out the insane asylums, I'm not saying like they fixed everybody and then closed them down. I mean, they emptied them out like wherever they could. So maybe it's time to, I don't know, think about reopening them and, or maybe building back better. Can we build back better some insane asylums? I don't know, maybe. But also, I'll tell you what, I was reminded, everything now, when I go out in the world in general, but specifically in a place like California, my radar is turned on. Anything out of the ordinary, I'm watching, right? But what does California have that the rest of the states don't have? They have a $20 minimum wage at fast food restaurants. You want to know what happens when you do that? Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience, from going into a Subway before I went to the airport. What happens when you mandate that a fast food company like Subway pay their employees $20 an hour is that you get one employee that runs the entire store. That's what you get. And how do I know that? Oh, because I stood in line and watched it. I watched her make bread. I watched her make sandwiches. I watched her ring things up. I watched her do everything. There was literally one person working in the store. Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles, in Pasadena, with six or seven people in line. And to her credit, she did a great job. She did the best she could do. But there needs to be another person in there at least. But they're not going to do that. So what happens? The quality goes down. Everybody gets mad. People don't eat there. You slit your own throat by doing this. And I'm telling you right now, $20 an hour, maybe you have that lady there. $21 an hour, she's a robot. And I know that they've gone to robots because I saw the little delivery guys, the little delivery carts that are roaming down Hollywood Boulevard delivering things. And of course, I saw them getting fucked with by the homeless people that were having a mental break. I think this guy was... I think he was trying to fuck it. I don't know what he was. I don't know. There was something going on. It's, you know, sometimes you just don't look a second time. If you think you saw what you saw, I don't need to see this guy trying to hook up with a robot. Anyway, but for the record, Hollywood is dead. It's dead. Like, if you're a tourist and you've never been there before and you don't know the difference between it, you can go and it would be an interesting experience and you'd probably have a fun time. But for anybody who really knows what it used to be and what it is now, oh, it's sad. It's really sad. I mean, the people are awful and they pretty much have it coming to them. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. It wasn't that... We never had the earthquake. It'd be one thing if we did. You would understand if everything had just kind of fallen off. But that's not the case. You know what really happened? COVID. COVID finished off this wicked industry. Production companies are relocating to Las Vegas due to a couple of reasons. One, because there's 0% state tax. That's a really good reason. In California, it's 13.3%. So if you're making $100 in California, you've got to give 13 of it to the state. In Nevada, you give them zero. And it's cheaper to live there. And it's a better, a higher quality of life. I've lived in both. I understand why people leave Southern California and go to Las Vegas. You've been there a bunch, probably, if you're in Southern California. It's a four-hour drive. So, but it's a four-hour drive with no taxes. And everything is less insane. It's funny to say that. It's funny to say you got to go to Las Vegas because it's less crazy. By the way, if anyone is looking to relocate to Las Vegas, reach out to me because I am the president of Alter Luxury. You can go to alterluxury.com. It's a real estate brokerage in Las Vegas, technically Henderson, Nevada, but we service Las Vegas and we'll hook you up. So if you're somebody who's listening to this going, yeah, I'm getting out of Southern California. I hear you, man. I did it. I mean, I know I did it in 2003, the first time I left California to go to Las Vegas. There for a decade. So there's reasons to go. And speaking of that, Las Vegas stole both of Oakland's teams. You know, so it used to be that, like, well, California's got, you know, four major sports up in San Francisco, four majors down in LA. We got the Padres. We got this or anything. Yeah, you can go to Vegas, but they're never going to have professional sports, you know, because of the gambling. Until they got the Golden Knights, and it's one of the most successful hockey franchises in the league, has greatest, great track record as far as fan support as well. They love the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. It's crazy. And so then they relocated the Oakland Raiders to Las Vegas. And coming in a couple years, the Oakland A's have been relocated to Las Vegas as well. So California's dying. They have nobody to blame but themselves. It's stupid policies. It's dumb ideas. It's reimagining policing and society. And we're just going to say, you're getting mugged on the BART train. Have you considered giving a card to the person? You remember I talked about the cards. Hi, help me. I'm being mugged. Or I see you. Here's the card I'll give you. I see you getting mugged over here. I got you, girl. I'm watching you, girl. Oh, my God. It's just insanity on top of stupidity everywhere. It's frustrating. And you know, thousands of movie jobs. Now that the barrier to entry has been lowered for getting into the movie business because people are making movies outside of Hollywood, then you've seen thousands of jobs leave. They leave for a variety of reasons, but you know, part of the reason why they leave is because of tax breaks elsewhere. You know, the process has become the movie making process has become decentralized. It used to be that if you had a script or you wanted to make it in movies, you had to go to New York or LA, and that was it. And if you weren't there, you weren't probably going to do it. These days, more films being made in Georgia, the state of Georgia, because of tax reasons. For a while there, they were going to Canada. I know during COVID, the whole reason why I have a buddy who works on NCIS, and he said the whole reason why NCIS Australia even happened was because they needed to leave LA to film, and they had to go to Australia. They went to Australia because they could film there. So sometimes the shows themselves were predicated because of the insane COVID policies. They had to relocate somewhere else. And so because of that, they're like, fuck it, we'll just make NCIS Australia. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense because you guys are talking about like the US Navy and then Australia is another country. Like, how is this going to work? Like, who cares? Our audience is dumb anyway. They don't care. They're not going to connect the dots. You're watching CBS dramas. How smart can you be? You know what I mean? It's just by definition. So state film tax credits in places like Georgia have helped to pry business away from California. And Disney currently is a dumpster fire, and their networks are getting crushed by changing viewing habits and cord cutting and all of that stuff. They and woke killed their brand, of course, and USAID won't be there to fill in the gaps in any of their propaganda. So Disney's going to have to reevaluate their entire, way of doing business. They thought they could push Gina Carano around with The Mandalorian and come in and say, yeah, well, we're woke Disney. We'll fuck with you. We'll do this. And she sued them using Elon Musk's money. She won the case, or they settled or whatever. They had to apologize to her. Pay her a bunch of money, who knows how much, and they had to say, we will put you in our movies. So even the wokeism inside of Hollywood is cannibalizing itself. It's destroying its own business. It's unsustainable. When you kill your brand like that, you can't run that for long periods of time. Let's move on. California is a communist shithole. That's established over the last couple of years. And like most commies, they're criminals. Just a look under the hood, just even kind of like a brief look under the hood of what's going on in California politics is like a clown show on fire. It's quite something. In the past decade, I'm not even going to go back any further than a decade. We'll just go back 10 years. I could go back 40. There's no need. In the past 10 years, 576 public officials in California have been convicted on federal corruption charges. I'm going to say that again because you probably are going to think I'm making a mistake with the numbers. In the last year, the number of California public officials not charged, convicted, led away in handcuffs on federal corruption charges, not state, not local, federal charges, the number of 576 California public officials have gone to prison in the last 10 years. That is more than one a week. Every single week for the past 10 years, a California politician has been led away in handcuffs for corruption. When I say that California is a shithole state, this is what I'm talking about. I'm not just making this up. If I was making it up and pulling a number out of my ass, my number of to blow you away with the number of California politicians that were incarcerated would have been like 50, not 576. I wouldn't have dreamed that the number could be that high. Los Angeles, a city with a $1 billion a year budget shortfall, also just sent three Los Angeles City Council members to the slammer. Only three? Well, they are City Council members. So Mark Ridley Thomas, Mitchell Englander, and Jose Hizar, all convicted of corruption for real estate zoning fraud with Chinese property developers. That last guy on the list, Jose Hizar, he got 13 years in federal prison for this. So California is run by gangsters. And government is organized crime. And nowhere is the crime as organized as it is in California. Probably should do a better job of maybe buying off some judges so that you don't send 576 of your people to the slammer for something like this. I mean, it's illegal to take money for real estate zoning fraud. But can we be honest here for a second and talk about the fact that the state gets involved in where things can and can't be? And then if you break that law, then they throw you in a cage for that. Like, you can't put your building there. That building has to be somewhere else. So we're going to throw you away. I almost don't blame these guys for getting caught with zoning fraud. Zoning fraud? Really? These guys, you went to, hey man, what are you in for? Zoning fraud, sir. Just shanked immediately. You're looking at 13 years? Yeah, I'm in 13 years. Really, you must have killed somebody. Yeah, I rezoned this part of La Habra so that they could put a grocery store there. Some guy gave me a bucket of money, and then I got caught, and now I'm doing 13 years for zoning fraud. Oh, my God. San Francisco, Director of Department of Public Works, Mohammed Nuru, guilty of stealing millions. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on with criminal California public officials. See, here's the thing. If you're going to be a criminal, you got to be smart about it. The problem is the people who get into government are always kind of a little bit dumb. I mean, if you work for the state and you live by the sword, you die by the sword, as far as I'm concerned. But if you work for the state and then you get busted stealing from the state, and then they put you in a state-run facility, that's just hilarious to me. You know, maybe you shouldn't work for the state. Have you ever considered not being that person? Moving on. When you do work for the state in California, you come up with really crazy ideas. You know, like a bullet train, essentially to nowhere. For those of you who are familiar, even just casually, with the geography of California, I'll give you a little lowdown here. San Francisco is in Northern California. Los Angeles is in Southern California. If you were in a car and you left Los Angeles and you drove north to San Francisco, from like city to city. Depending on your driving habits, you might get there in 5 or 6 hours, let's just say. And it's just a straight shot. You're going to take one freeway, go right up. So you could do that. And the number of people each day who need to commute physically from San Francisco to Los Angeles, I don't know. You go to the airport and you'd see there's a lot of people. That's an easy flight. That's a 45 minute flight. I mean, it's more of a pain in the ass getting in and out of the airports than it is being on the plane. So it's easy to do that. There has been an idea to connect these cities, San Francisco to Los Angeles, with a train. It's a reasonable idea. It's been on the books for, when did they start? 1979 was the first time that the bullet train was proposed. So first you say there should be a train, and then you go, well, if we're going to build a train, we should build a bullet train. You know, they've got those in Japan and China and places like that. You know, the countries that don't take all their GDP and throw it towards war, they can build things like bullet trains. But we can't in the States because we have to bomb the shit out of the poorest countries on earth. And you can't have a bullet train if we're bombing Yemen. Okay, so we have to focus on the real priorities, like things like that. So they had this idea for a bullet train, and they said, well, we're going to connect San Francisco to Los Angeles. So it's a reasonable thought. Right. So what did they do instead? So what's the first leg of the building this train? The first leg of the train is to connect two other points, two nonsensical, completely disjointed points. We're not going to build the train from San Francisco to Los Angeles. We're going to build the middle part of the train, the mid part, the Central Valley part of California. The part that nobody goes to. We're going to build that first. So the first leg of the high-speed train, I want you to, you know, you don't have to know anything about California necessarily. You do just need to know numbers. And by the way, this proposed San Francisco to Los Angeles bullet train is going to cost $128 billion, okay? $128 billion. Phase one, the first step, connect these two cities together. Merced, with a population of 86,000, and Bakersfield, with a population of 419,000. They are 119 miles apart. The amount of money that California has budgeted to connect Merced with a population under 100,000 to Bakersfield with a population just above 400,000 is $38 billion. 38,000 million dollars, if you want to look at it that way, to connect Merced to Bakersfield. I ask you, how many people in Bakersfield need to go to Merced today? How many people in Bakersfield need to go to Merced ever in the course of your lifetime? I'll take that number. That'll be because we might get closer. They started in 2015. It was first proposed in 1979. They have spent $14.4 billion already, and they have almost nothing finished. Merced and Bakersfield are not connected, by the way. That won't happen for years. 15,000 jobs is the sales pitch. It's always been the sales pitch. Good luck. You know what happened last month? Trump cut off $4 billion in funding to this boondoggle, rightly so. They receive, regardless of cutting off some of the federal money, this project is getting $1 billion yearly. And has been getting this for the last couple of years. Do you know where this $1 billion is coming from? You probably don't. The answer is it's coming from something called cap and trade. And if you don't know what cap and trade is, I'll explain it to you. It's carbon tax. So carbon taxes already exist. We've covered this. We've gone into this. Not in a way that, not in its ultimate form. as they would like to envision carbon taxes to be, but they exist in a small way. And $1 billion every year that's being raised from these horseshit carbon taxes is being diverted and given to this project so that they can build a bullet train to literally nowhere. The voters approved this in 2008. The voters approved it when the cost was $33 billion. They didn't approve $133 billion, but that's what it's going to be. That's what they say it's going to be. This is $128 billion. They go, well, it's somewhere in the range of $95 to $128 billion. They go, no. I'm sorry. You don't get to give yourself a $30 billion window. You don't get to give yourself a third of the price in sort of wiggle room. We're going to need you to dial it in. Like, how much is it? It's going to be a lot. Could you give me numbers, though? It's going to be substantial. Great. What is the dollar figure it's going to be? It's going to be a lot. That's what I'm saying. Right. So I this is something you need to understand. I'm going to break it down to the ridiculous because this is ridiculous and it needs to be ridiculed. You could fly. We did the math. I did the math on this. We worked it out. To the ridiculous is where this should go. You could fly every Californian, which is 39 million of them, round trip to Tokyo in coach, you're not first class. Again, we're going to fly everybody in California to Tokyo round trip. That's $1,200 per ticket. We're going to get them a round trip on the bullet train, which is another $200. Two nights at the Ritz-Carlton in Kyoto, which is $1,400. We add all of this up. We could take every single person in California, fly them to Tokyo, put them on the bullet train, let them spend two nights at the Ritz-Carlton Kyoto, fly them back, and we would still have $19 billion left over. What are we doing? What are they doing in California? This is money laundering. Right. This is what it is. You know, we watch the movies and it's always like, you know, casino, right? Like, hey, there's a bag. Hey, take this bag with this money. Hey, take it to this guy. We're going to wash this money. This is money laundering. There's no explanation for how you can be so bad at this, except that it's intentional. By the way, Gavin Newsom, who's going to be running for president at some point, he's going to have to deal with this. He's going to have to answer for this. You know, he paused this program for 3 years back in 2019, and then he quietly cranked it back up. Why'd you pause it, Gavin? If this is such a great idea, a guy who's been involved in California politics his entire life, if this is such a great idea, why'd you pause it? You know, if it's just going to make money like crazy, then what? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they're bad at math. They all are. In California, let's talk about Gavin Newsom. Let's talk about his math skills. Because, I mean, he's got some common core leanings in here, if you ask me. They, California, projected that they were going to do such a great job with all of their tax collecting and revenue generation and shakedowns and all of that, that they were going to have so much money that not only were they going to cover all of their budget, which is crazy when you're talking about California and having so many moving parts and all the things that you have to account for and budget for, there's a lot going on, but the California government, led by Gavin Newsom, was of the belief that not only were they going to cover all of their bills that they had for this year, but they were going to have $98 billion in overages. That would be amazing, don't you think? I mean, that's a hell of a projection, right? We're going to be so efficient with this tax revenue that's coming in that we're going to be making money with this. We California, we're making money. We're going to make $98 billion next year. Do you know that? Do you know what the numbers came in You know how the numbers came in? Not only did they not make $98 billion, they lost $73 billion. They lost. They were only off by $171 billion. That was the difference. They thought they were going to be profitable by $98 billion. They lost $73 billion. Uh-oh, mistakes were made. Oopsies. You know, my bad. Wow, really? Wow, we lost that much? That's amazing. That's crazy. Well, next year, we'll just have to try harder. California admitted, I think they had to, but they admitted that there was $29 billion in COVID-era unemployment fraud just in California alone. They're run by monkeys. Honest, I can't imagine in a world like I come out of the business world where, oh, I don't know, you get held accountable for your actions. I remember working at an ad agency, this girl who made a mistake when she was doing an ad buy, and the mistake cost the company $180,000. She was marched out of that office by the end of the day. As soon as they found, they said, you cost us this much money. You were out. She was, well, you know, it was all a mistake. They go, get the fuck out. Get out. You're too expensive. Your stupidity is too expensive for us. And I look at something like this and I just go, you're expecting to make let's put it in numbers that aren't so big that you can't understand. Let's just, your family budget, you were expecting this last year to make $98,000. Let's take the billions out. It's too big. You're expecting to make $98,000 this year. If at the end of the year, you filled out I was your accountant, your tax guy, and we talked and you said, oh yeah, I'm going to have a good year. I'm going to probably make about $100,000 this year. And I got your taxes and you had lost 70. You had, not only had you not made a single penny, but you had actually had to come out of pocket for $73,000. We would have to have a talk about your finances, about what is going on here. But not in California, because it's run by a multi-generational crime family. Gettys, Pelosi's, and Newsom's. You know the names. You know the names. But I wonder how California is going to do. I mean, they're already completely bankrupt. But how are they going to do when Trump cuts off the funding? You know, he cut off the $4 billion for this road to nowhere. What about when he cuts off the funding for other stuff, right? What about when USAID stops giving money to the California for their woke, you know, for another tranny pride parade? Then what? You know, because this money is coming from somewhere. The money that was financing all this woke horseshit is not, you know, it's coming from groups that have a vested interest in this. USAID was obviously one of them. And so when that money goes away, then what happens? Do these ideas go away? I mean, ideas that are so stupid that they have to be financed into existence. I mean, the idea that of the trans agenda and all of that good stuff is just, you know, it has to be, it can't be organic. It has to be being made to exist. What's California going to do when the feds shut off any money for homeless? You know, 50% of all homeless people live in California. And I don't mean that you cut them in half. I mean, half of the population. It's a great place to be homeless, especially in Santa Monica. Weather's great. Nobody messes with you. City government's totally cucked. They've always been cucked. Santa Monica's been like that for 30 years. I mean, you could be homeless and crazy in Santa Monica forever. And people knew this part right here was kind of limited. You know, maybe a little south to Venice Beach. You'd see some craziness going on there, but it was kind of expected. Now that's everywhere. And that's unappealing to people. Over 1 million people have left California just in 3 years, just the COVID years, 2021, 2022, 2023. A million people sat down at their kitchen table and said, we got to get out of here. We have to get out of here. I can't stay here anymore. This place has gone crazy. A million families got up and left. How does that happen? Out of a total of 40 million, they lost so many people that California lost a House seat. They went from 53 down to 52. They're losing so many people. Gavin Newsom won the U-Haul Salesman of the Decade Award. It's amazing. They had a big presentation and everything for it. Median home price in 2022 in California was $797,470. Do you know who can afford an $800,000 house? Well, 25% of the population of California can, but 75% cannot. Let's talk about the business. Let's wrap up with this. The business exodus. Over 200 big businesses that we know of have left California. How many small and medium-sized businesses left California, air quotes, because their company was put out of business because, you know, they owned a small family-owned lumber hardware store and they were closed during COVID, but Lowe's and Home Depot were left wide open, right? All that. So 200 big businesses have left. Thousands more have been crushed under regulations of California crazy taxes, restrictions, whatever. Here are some of the companies whose names you will recognize. Charles Schwab packed up, moved to Texas. Palantir unfortunately moved to my town. They moved to Denver. Hewlett Packard, Texas. SpaceX, Texas. Tesla, Texas. Oracle, Texas. Chevron, moved to Texas. Chevron was, when they broke up Standard Oil, Chevron was California's Standard Oil. California's Standard Oil left California because California is too crazy to work there anymore. You can't do it. And then of course, how many stores have left the San Francisco Westfield Mall? I don't know. All of them. The San Francisco doom loop that's infecting that city. We've done an entire episode on just San Francisco. I don't need to rehash that. The reasons given for packing up an entire company, plus all your employees, labor costs, employee costs of living. California, it's out of control. Doesn't matter. Southern California, Northern California, good luck to you. One of the other reasons given for packing up the companies and leaving, taxes, both state taxes and property taxes and any sort of business-related taxes. One of the major reasons is regulations. California is massively overregulated. Anything having to do with, just imagine every climate change, woke greenies fantasy, California will do all that stuff. They're the first ones to put in the catalytic converters. I mean, some of the stuff is kind of reasonable. Like you're trying to manage your car so it's not openly polluting and everything. I can understand that. But I don't like the state being involved in this. It's not their position to tell me how to be. And the regulations that they have in place are not common sense business regulations. They're written by leftist lunatics who've never run a company in their life. They don't understand what goes into this. They don't know that you have to plan years in advance about expanding your business, that you're going to buy another. We're going to buy this building and we're going to do this and we're going to have to hire all these people. The leftists don't think about stuff like that. They think that you can wave a magic wand and then money appears, and that all we need to do to just reimagine society is think harder. So energy costs, massive problem. The companies are saying, we're out of here. It's too expensive to do business just from our energy standpoint. Litigation costs were a huge one. It's too litigious. Everybody's suing everybody. Some asshole comes into my grocery store to rob me, falls, dislocates his knee, sues me. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy. And the businesses are like, we've had enough. Zoning is a huge problem. Environmental components are forcing companies to leave. And lastly, poor infrastructure. These are all on their list. The infrastructure in California is a joke. The Port of Los Angeles, their idea of going full electric and having how they had to have these electric trucks move the cargo from this point to that point because the electric trucks have to work in there. But then once they're out at that other point, then the gas fueled trucks can come in here, but only for a couple years because Gavin Newsom said we have to go to electric trucks by 2028. You know, everybody's got to be electric trucks. And you go, great. Do electric trucks exist? No. Okay, well, fine. We have to invent electric trucks before 2028 and make sure. I mean, the whole thing is just like, it's like if you took somebody who was tweaking on methamphetamines and you said, write a business plan for how you're going to run California, it would look like this. Totally disjointed, nonsensical, and fucking crazy. San Francisco lost 60,000 people in 2 years in that city. That's 7% of the population just up and left. Do you know why? Do you know why they left San Francisco? Because they could. Tax base crashes because of that. Because wealthy people, who are the ones that have the capacity to leave, are leaving. You know who's not leaving? The poors. The ones that you can't collect tax revenue from. The ones who are having a mental incident in the middle of Broadway. You know, those people, they ain't going anywhere. The guy who's got $8 million in his bank account is out of there. And you know what? So are his taxes. Because he can do something else, somewhere else. So anybody else who can't leave, they're stuck on the plantation. Sorry. California lost out on $24 billion of tax revenue, you know, tax revenue that they would need considering they're upside down, you know, that $98 billion that Gavin was counting on. Well, maybe I'm sure $24 billion of it he was expecting to show up, but it never did. It never showed up in 2022. Do you know why? Because so many people were moving to Texas, Tennessee, Florida, Arizona, and Las Vegas that $24 billion of tax revenue also walked out the door. They just can't figure this out. They're always going to do the wrong thing. I left in 2015. I left from a 13.3% state tax to 5% in Colorado. It was 0% in Nevada. So, and one more thing to consider. Think of the mentality of the person who finally makes that calculation to leave California. Like, I mean, I can put myself in their shoes because it happened to me. The people who are leaving California are the people who are, first of all, able to, but also who are ideologically leaning a little bit more conservative. So they've been held hostage and some of them are making calculations. We got to go. Like, we just can't stay here anymore. What that is going to eventually do is it's going to make California even, you know, it's a blue state, but it's going to make it dark blue because anybody that's even slightly conservative already got out of there. It's a sinking ship. And anybody else who's there is there because either they like the policies or they can't leave. So that's the reality for them. You know, politically conservative people are the first to leave. So California is just going to be bright blue. And remote workers left for obvious reasons, especially in the Bay Area. I mean, if you can do your job from anywhere, why would you do it there? It just doesn't make any sense. We had the Summer of Love LA ICE riots 2025. We had the Pacific Palisades Winter Fire 2025. You know, Summer of Love LA ICE riots 2025, brought to you by Pepsi. I mean, that's how it felt like to me. Like made for TV, you know, Just wait until Los Angeles fucks up for the 2028 Olympics, Summer Olympics. And, you know, they will. Peter Ubroth isn't walking through that door any longer, you know. No earthquake could ever do to California what Democrats have done. Only the left can turn somewhere so beautiful into a shithole. Welcome to California. What's your dream? If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Connect with me, macroaggressions.io. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.